an interview between Mr. Lee Miller and Mr. Lou Roskin of CJDC about the year 1958, as far as we can ascertain.
Mr. Miller, there are many things, of course, about the history of the Peace River country that most people are anxious to know and which has not been publicized too much. I might ask, first of all, where you came from before you came up here to the Peace River country. What part of the United States?
Well, I came up to Canada from South Dakota. I was in South Dakota 9 years.
Oh, I see.
But originated from Rolla, Missouri.
Oh, from Rolla, Missouri. Now, how is that Rolla, Missouri spelled? Like it is here or differently?
It's spelled all the same as we do spell it here.
Well, because of the people's southern accent in Virginia and so forth in the southern states, was Rolla at one time spelled R-A-L-E-I-G-H like Sir Walter Raleigh?
Raleigh, North Carolina, was named after Sir Walter Raleigh.
Oh, yeah.
And the parties moved from Raleigh, North Carolina, to Missouri, and there they want the post office like we did up here.
Oh, yeah.
And this man said he would take the post office. He's the only one about that could handle the post office there, providing they would call it Raleigh, but spell it different, R-O-L-L-A.
Well, why was that? Did he figure the people could spell R-O-L-L-A much easier than Raleigh?
Well, I couldn't say that.
Oh, that was just his idea, was it?
Just his idea.
I see.
And that's how Rolla become named down there.
Oh, yeah. And then from Rolla in Virginia, how did Rolla in North Dakota? Now, I drove by Rolla, North Dakota just this past summer. Did it get its name from somebody in Virginia coming up there?
No, they from Missouri.
From Missouri, I see.
They come from Rolla, Missouri.
Oh, yes. It was from North Carolina to Missouri to North Dakota, was that it?
Yes.
And you came originally from Missouri, did you, to North Dakota?
Yes. I was born and raised in Rolla, Missouri.
I see. And when you came up to this area near Dawson Creek, how did it get to its name of Rolla? Did you have anything to do with that? I mean, were you the postmaster here in Rolla?
I got the post office.
Did you have to submit any names or for the name, or did you just name it Raleigh yourself?
Here. No, I sent out six names.
I see.
See? And the first name, I put it Raleigh.
Oh, yeah.
And, of course, I had other names, but they give me the name Raleigh, as it hadn't, no other, this town had been named in B.C.
That's most interesting. You must have been very pleased, because there's a Raleigh, or Raleigh, I suppose, actually, in North Carolina, which was contracted to Rolla in Missouri, and Rolla in North Dakota, and Rolla here in British Columbia. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
And, well, it's most interesting. We've heard a lot of stories about Rolla. It's certainly one of the better-known areas in the B.C. Peace River. And we do hear some people calling it Rolla. That's not correct, is it?
No.
It's not Rolla, is it?
Rolla.
Yeah. When did you come up to what is now known as Rolla? Did you come directly from North Dakota or from some other place in the Peace River country?
Well, we come up to Edmonton. We stayed around Edmonton 3 years.
Oh.
And then we come out on the Edson Trail from Edmonton and stopped on the Edson Trail and built a stopping place for that winter. The next spring, we left our stopping place on the 10th of March.
Oh, yeah.
We got to Grand Prairie on the 20th of March, taking us 10 days to come from our stopping place to Grand Prairie.
Oh, yeah. 10 days, eh? About what distance would that be? Any idea?
About 250 miles.
250 miles. Now, what year was this? We haven't...
1912.
Well, that's about a little over 40 years ago. Now, this Edson Trail, Mr. Miller, a lot of people up here have heard about it. And where is it? Do you go, is it the same trail around Edson, Alberta, where you go west of Edmonton towards Jasper and then go north? Is that the Edson Trail, or isn't that the...
No, that is not... Well, you go north, yes. Where the trail come out, where we come out, I've kind of forgotten just how it goes out of Edson. Which way? to leave Edson. But anyhow, we went out. We worked on the railroad with our teams for a couple of months there. Then we, when it froze up, then we went out, my boy and I, and built a stopping place out there.
Oh, yeah.
That's about 7 miles to the Athabasca River.
Uh-huh.
And there we stayed all that winter till spring, till the 10th of March. Then we left that and come to Grand Prairie.
By the way, what did you do in the winter time to amuse yourselves? Did you play cards? I imagine it could become quite boring. There were no radios in those days to listen to, were there?
Well, we worked.
You did, eh? They cut wood and...
Cut wood, and we had lots of choppers come in there. Teams, you know.
Oh, yeah.
We kept teams, and we give them meals, too, them that wanted. We had a bunkhouse. They could go in there and camp in the bunkhouse to go to and cook their own meals, or they'd come to the house where we lived, and we'd give them the meals.
Oh, that's very interesting. Just like the present-day motels or hotels.
Yeah.
Now, when you came from Grand Prairie to Rolla in 1912, I believe you left on the 25th day of April. What did you use? Did you have a wagon or two wagons, or what mode of transportation?
Well, we loaded one wagon, as heavy as we thought the team could pull over the muddy road, and one Democrat, as much into that as the Democrat would hold up.
Oh, yeah. And what did you have in there? Just about everything you needed? Food? And...
The wagon was loaded with our bedding and food enough to last us a couple of months, and such as that. But the Democrat, we put straight 100-pound flour, stuff like that could be easy hammered.
Oh, yeah. And it took you 10 days, did it, to come from Grand Prairie to Rolla?
Taking us 10 days hard labor from daylight till dark to get to Rolla.
That would be about the 5th of May in 1912 when you came to Rolla. What is now
Rolla? We set our tent on our homestead the 5th day of May about 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
Oh, I'll be darned. Now, what about the difficulty on that trip? Did you have any difficulty crossing any rivers or streams? Or?
Well, our first trouble, out about 20 miles from Grand Prairie, there's roads all right, but then there's no government work roads at all, just trails.
Oh, yeah.
And we come to a slough, and it looked like the teams had been going across, which had, and I drove in. Well, naturally, I got stuck. If the ice had went out from under, and I got stuck, well, I had to jump off. One of the horses fell down, and I had to jump off into the water and hold her head up out of the water so she wouldn't drown until one of the boys unhooked the tugs and the net rope and to get her up.
Oh, yeah.
Well, we got her up, and we lightened our load a little bit, and they was able to pull the wagon out. Of course, that wasn't very much, only we did get wet. We had no hip boots or anything like that to wear, and we waded the water just like snow. Now that water is ice, you know.
I bet it was cold already.
It was cold. And, of course, when we got out, we loaded up, and we went on from there.
Did you have any more trouble crossing any... places like any gullies or streams? Or?
When we got to Horse Lake is a creek there, runs into Horse Lake, and there's no bridges on the road at all. And the creek was quite deep, but it wasn't very swift. So I got the kiddies all on the wagon and drove in, and I got the opposite bank. I pulled the ledge pin from the evening, and the horses went out. And then we threw the tongue, that is the tongue, we used that for a footbridge.
Oh.
And we carried all the load out of that. We had to unload everything. We carried all the load out over that tongue. Well, when we got the tongue loaded, the team could pull it out. Of course, my wife came along with a Democrat, her team could pull the load.
Oh, yeah.
We didn't have to bother with her. But we loaded a jump all on, and we got out of there. Well, we felt pretty good about it.
Well, I can imagine you would. Now, just before we go any further, you mentioned we, now, and the kiddies and your wife. How many were in the party?
Well, just my family, you know. We had seven children. It was all with me, but the one.
Oh.
The one boy was 17 years old. That's the oldest boy that was with me. The oldest boy, he didn't come out with us. He trapped muskrat that spring.
Oh.
And there was seven of us. Seven of us.
How many boys and how many girls? You
had three girls, and one, two, three.
You can't remember. Well, it was 40 years ago, 41 years ago. I don't blame you.
Anyhow, seven children are there.
Yes. Well, some of those children are living right in Dock Creek today, aren't they?
Yes, there's one.
And Mrs. Norman Little?
Mrs. Norman Little.
And Mrs.
And Mrs. May Lewis. She lives at Rolfe.
Yes.
And Mrs. Eunice Tower, she lives at the Peace River down there.
Oh.
Where they run the ferry, you know.
Oh, I see. And what about the boys? Do any live in the Peace River country?
Well, they're all here but the one. One's down at Alder Grove, B.C. But my son, the oldest boy that's living now, the oldest boy was killed in the First World War.
Oh, I see.
But the next boy, he lives at Rolla there. The next two boys lives at Rolla.
Oh.
Well, you might say the my youngest son, he was born after got here. And he lives there too. He's with me most of the time. But the girls, they scattered out a little bit. But the one boy down to Ortego.
Oh, that's very interesting, Mr. Miller. Now, I guess we better get back to that very interesting trip that you were discussing just a moment or two ago. And you were talking about that, was it Horse Lake that you just crossed?
Yes, Horse Lake we just crossed.
Uh-huh. Now, and whenever you'd come to a stream, I suppose the children would climb on the wagon and you'd, pull the linchpin with you and let the team go out?
We done the very same thing with those little streams we did the big stream. But with only, there might have been three of those small streams we had to cross before we come to
Swan Lake.
Yeah, Swan Lake.
And I suppose you had to cross Tupper Creek too, did you?
Tupper Creek is what they call the creek that runs into Swan Lake.
Oh, yes.
Well, when I got there, the creek was very deep, but there was a pack horse bridge across there. They just cut the logs about 30 feet long and threw it across, one from each bank.
Oh, yes.
And there they built it wide enough for one horse at a time to go through as a pack horse. But they put a log on top for a banister. Now, the banister is just a big log laid on top of the other.
I see.
And our wagon wheels are just run on those banisters. So we unhooked everything and unloaded, carried everything across, and we put one slow horse, he's gentle and slow, we put him on the end of tongue with one of the boys, and he made him go very slow. And the two of us got a hold of each front wheel, and we walked backwards and helped them wheels on that banister.
That must have been quite a job, eh?
Well, that's the way we crossed it. Now we crossed the Democrat the same way.
Oh, yes. Well, that was quite a crossing. Would you consider that fairly easy?
Well, that was a good easy crossing. We had no trouble at that tall because we had good footing to walk across. And we threw the things all out down or dry ground. But the next crossing, now, mind you, that is something hard to do.
It was, eh? Where was that?
That is at Tate Creek. Tick Creek, that is what it's called then. Then they changed that name to Grundy's Ranch.
Oh.
And then they changed it here later, it's Tom's Lake. Well, Tom's Lake is over north of Tick Creek, 7 or 8 miles, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And why they put Tom's Lake down there, but that's what they got it anyhow. But there's where we had our trouble.
Oh. Well, how did you cross there? Was there any means?
Well, the the surveyors, land surveyors in there, and they'd cut a big spruce tree across just above the road. And there they made a banister to walk across easy. Now when we got there, we carried everything across on that spruce tree, our load and everything. Then we unharnessed the horses and carried the harness across. And then the horses had to come across. Well, we, one of us went across the creek and with a rope, one at a time, and led the horses or pulled them across while the other stood behind and started the horse in.
Oh.
We did that with each horse that way. But on the wagon, when he got everything across, we loaded up, or we harnessed up, and we hit the rope then on the end of the wagon tongue.
Oh.
Well, when that wagon hit the current of that stream, it threw the wagon right down the stream.
Boy, oh boy.
And the we thought that it is going to pull the team right backwards. But when the wagon swung across on the other side, why, the team stopped it. Then they pulled it out all right.
Oh, that was a close one, eh?
Well, we crossed the Democrat in the same way. And, of course, when we got across that, that was our really hardest place, but we didn't know. We didn't know what was next.
No, I guess not. Well, that probably was your most difficult one, wasn't it?
Yes, that was our worst crossing we had to do. But when we got across, we loaded up, and of course our spirits wasn't dampened at all. And we, of course, we drawed a long breath and to think, well, what's going to come next? We didn't know what the next going to be.
Well, that would take you next, I suppose, near Pouce Coupe, would it? Did you go by way of Pouce? Or?
Yes. The next trouble we had, we come to the Canyon Creek. It's about 6 miles south of Pouce Coupe. And there, is a very deep gulf there.
Oh, yeah.
Now, a horse cannot go where an ox can. It'd been about three ox teams across there. Now, we're traveling a pack trail now.
Oh, I see.
There's no track at all for the wagon.
Oh, just a pack trail, eh?
Just a pack trail, except those are oxen. They come through with three teams with light load. Well, there, the ox can go down and up the banks and through the mud where a horse can't possibly do that.
Oh.
So we sized up everything, went down, looked at it, and the hill had been burnt off at the pine tree 2 or 3 years back, and it is covered with burnt chunks and all different lengths. So I got busy, and I told the kiddies, now every kiddie could pull a chunk, get busy. Of course, I was the boss of the bunch, all right.
You were the foreman, eh?
I was the foreman of the crew. Well, we worked there. Now, we got there about 9 o'clock in the morning.
Oh.
And we worked there till about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. We had our bridge done.
You actually built a bridge, eh?
We just filled in with those pine logs just from the ground up.
Oh, yeah.
And, of course, our filling was about 6 feet high. And, of course, the last logs that was put on was long ones, and it made a kind of a bridge. And we crossed there, and I think the public used it 10 years after.
They did.
10 years after we got through there.
You should have made that a toll bridge, eh? What happened after that? Did you camp for the night? I suppose it took you all day pretty well.
Well, we drove on to Bazette Creek. We had no trouble there. We had to get on one of the horses, one of the boys did, and go across the creek and pull a log out of the way. Then is a gravel bottom, and we drove right across. But there we come up on top of the hill in Pouce Coupe, where Pouce Coupe is now, and camp about 100 yards north and east of where the police barrack stands today. And the next morning, we got up early, and we go down to Tromley's place. That's the old stopping place.
Oh, yeah.
Now, Tromley had been in there 10 years before his family come out. And he was trading with the Indians and trapping. And there was a man killed up north by the name of Coleman. And he was called to Vancouver on a trial. So he went out there, and his wife, his family lived close to Vancouver, and he persuaded his wife to come out with him. And they come out over the Edson, not over the Edson Trail, they come over the, round by Athabasca, I guess is the way they come. They packed through. And they hadn't, she had been here, the family had been here 4 years before we come. By herself, except the one man and his wife come out with them. And she died, this woman come out, well, she died shortly after they come out here, so she's left without any white woman. And our family was the first white family that come in. Naturally, we was welcomed very heartily.
I can imagine, yes.
And they wanted to stay all night, but we wouldn't. We eat dinner with them all night. But that afternoon, we went right on, and we set a tent on our homestead about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. We set a tent, as I have there. I just thought of Abraham when he, when the Lord told him to get out to a strange country. And we was pretty well the same as Abraham. He set his tent hundreds of years ago, you could say thousands of years ago, in a strange land. And we felt that God had blessed him and his seed after it. Now I feel the same thing on that, that we set our tent as Abraham did years ago, and I think God has blessed me and my family.
Yes, that's a very fine way of putting it, Mr. Miller. And I know, as you were saying before, that you feel that God's blessings have come upon your family and your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren.
Yes.
By the way, have you kept track of your great-grandchildren? Do you know how many you have?
Well, I think it's 19. I'd have to count
19, eh? Oh, boy.
Great-grandchildren.
Well, that's very wonderful. And you've seen a great many changes, have you not, since you first came up?
I've surely seen many a change.
Well, what made you decide to settle in the area of Rolla? Because it's one of the finest grain-growing areas in all of the Peace River country. And what made you go there in particular, that is, to that spot? Did it look
well,
better?
I got the land, and I named the town. Rolla had to come with me.
I see. Well, thank you very kindly. It's been very interesting, and I know you could tell many, many more stories of later happenings in Rolla and district. I know the area developed in the last 40 years, more families came in, and undoubtedly there were many interesting happenings, and perhaps we can get you to tell the listening audience about some of these later on. Do you think we might be able to?
Yes, I'm willing to tell all I know.
Good. True confessions, eh, Mr. Miller?
Yes, well, everything I have told is really what has happened to me.
Well, that's fine. Is there anything else you would care to say before we say goodbye to you today?
Well, I would say this. I wonder how many people is here in Dawson Creek or anywhere else knows what it takes to settle a new country like this has been. We, with loneliness, disappointment, heartaches, 100 miles from the nearest doctor, 400 miles from the nearest doctor, and with a family with 7 children from the age of 2 years to 19 years.
Yes, I can appreciate what you're saying. We think we have hardships today. We complain perhaps that we have to do this or do that. Why, I guess we don't know how lucky we are. We have natural gas, and those of us who haven't got it, why, our coal and wood is delivered right to our doors. We have doctors, hospitals, theaters, curling rinks, arenas, radio stations, just about all the modern conveniences, and we still complain. I suppose the work that the pioneers such as yourself and their families had to do in past years has not really been appreciated, and I think that the only way to do it is to chronicle it. We should and more broadcasts of this kind, and we should have more books on the work and the experiences of pioneers such as yourself. Do you not agree?
I do agree on that.
Yes. Well, thank you very much, sir.
Thank you.